て、バズレバヤ。So it was 2 days ago, Ram Nami, the appearance day of Lord Ram. On Monday, what's on Monday? Monday. Hanuman Jayanti, which we don't really usually celebrate so much. We were going to celebrate. Anyway, we don't. We have done, actually. But anyway, it's very auspicious time, very nice time. It is, we have, in Krishna consciousness, we have different seasons. When I was at school, I don't know how it is or was with any of you, we would have marble season. Did you do that?
Yes.
There was top season. You did that too? There was hula hoop season. There was yo-yo season. Are you there too? We're all from the same mold. So we have in Krishna consciousness different seasons. For some days we focus on, you may remember last year, I think it was February, was it, or January, we had Lord Nityananda's appearance day. We had about 3, I think, or 4 programs in Marlborough, and then the actual day. In Durban we had a number of days for Gaur Purnima, because there's so many points, so many pastimes, you can't cover them in one day at all. And now is Ram Nomi season. It still is. And coming into Hanuman Jayanti. Right. And next will be, well, I guess Rathayatra is next, but otherwise next will be yes, Lord Nrisingadev's appearance day. And we will have a season for that. A build-up, you know, for some days. Yeah. So we're still in the Ram season. Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. So I'll read a few verses here. I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. I'll begin with verse 5. It includes a blessing, Ashirvad. It's an Ashirvad verse, really. At least it includes a blessing. Vishramitrad vare yena marichadya nishachara pashyato lakshmanasyaiva hata nairita pungava. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishvamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness, like at the disco, and maybe the place across the road too. So, in the arena of sacrifice performed by Vishvamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness, May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshman, be kind enough to give us protection. It's a type of blessing. It is a prayer on our behalf. That's what it is. It's a prayer on our behalf. And we can also pray, and we should also pray. But, and the Lord, of course, he notes the prayers of his devotees, even devotees who are not, you know, particularly advanced, even beginning devotees, actually. But when some big devotee, like Shukadev Goswami, speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he offers a prayer, oh, then you must know that the Lord will definitely fulfill that. It will come to be. Yes. Because he's a big devotee. Prabhupada once was at a Rath Yatra, seeing Rath Yatra season is coming up. Prabhupada was at a Rath Yatra, he had just arrived. He was being driven to the where they were beginning, the Rath Yatra. And Srila Prabhupada asked the driver, who is here of the devotees, like senior devotees? And that the driver said, this devotee, that devotee, this Swami, that Maharaj, and, you know, senior devotees like this. And the devotee said, yes, this name, that name. He said, all the big devotees. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, I am the only big devotee. Not a matter of pride, but just a matter of perspective, really. Got to have your perspective right. Otherwise you think, well, as they say, as Srila Prabhupada said, in the absence of the sun, a glowworm may look very impressive. So it's a question of perspective. And Srila Prabhupada, he's a big devotee, really big. And others, well, you know, they're there somewhere, but not like that. Okay, now there is another verse, actually, which, in fact, it's a verse before. It's extremely difficult Sanskrit. Guruvarati chyakta rajyo vyacharad anuvanam padmapadvyam priyaya pani sparshak shambhadvyam mrijita patarujo yo harindranujabhyam Virupyach chur panakya priya viraha rusha ropita bru vijrimpa trashtad bia bada setu kaladava dahana koshalendro vatana. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriva, the king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Shurpanakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows, and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord, Ramachandra, give us all protection. This is a very important point. It's a very important fact in Krishna consciousness that when these great personalities, like in this case, Shukadeva Goswami, when they offer a prayer, make some request on our behalf, then it is sure to come to be. Because Krishna, when such great devotees place any request, even a hint, in front of Lord Krishna, or in this case, Lord Ram, when they do that, then the Lord immediately says yes, and immediately puts it into effect. And maybe even doubly so. If we put in a request, you know, whatever it may be, then Krishna may say, I'll think about it. Or, actually, what he does, you know what he really does? I mean, he does that, actually. But on another level, on a deeper level, what he does, the Lord thinks, so, you want whatever it is. Let me see. Will it be good for you or not? This is how the Lord thinks. For devotees like us. Will it be good for you or not? And if Krishna, in his intelligence, if he feels, actually, it wouldn't be good for you, then you won't get it. And then you may think, Krishna, oh, come on. I'm praying to you. I'm chanting my rounds. Today's Ekadasi. I observed Ekadasi. I mean, really? Can't you just let me have whatever it is? Because as far as I'm concerned, it'll be good for me. It's a joke, really. But in Russia, it's just a little sort of thing amongst devotees that I am going to pray to Krishna for a new Mercedes-Benz, a big one, because I want to distribute books. and you need, I want to distribute lots of books, so I need a big one. And when I am driving out to distribute books, I don't want the car to break down, because then I'll be stuck. I won't be able to distribute books. Therefore, I need a new Mercedes-Benz. There's a saying, I don't know how it goes in Russian, but it is, I am not so rich that I can afford a cheap car. They're rich, really extraordinary persons, actually. You must get to know some. I'm not so rich that I can afford a cheap car. Means if you get a cheap car, it's going to be breaking down all the time. It'll cost you a lot of money. Anyway, it's just a joke. Like another one, which is true. That's a really good one. Hunger is the best chef. When you're hungry, you may eat practically anything. But when you're full to the brim and beyond, then even if they offer you your favorite beans curry, no. Whatever it happens to be. But even if it is your just super duper top of the hit parade favorite, you just either you won't be able to manage it at all, or even if you have a little bit, you just won't. It won't be so nice at all. Right. So the thing is, well, you know the story. You may have heard the story. There was a devotee in Randburg area, northern suburbs, slightly to the west of north. And he applied for a new job. It was a good job. And he was going to earn lots of money and so on. So he thought, wow, I want to get this job. So the boss called, said, come for the interview at 2 p.m. So he thought, right, 2 p.m. Do baje. I must be there. Right on the spot, on the dot, at 2. So off he drove, and he's driving around the area, the sort of business area where the place was, but there was no parking. So he's driving around, and you're thinking, Krishna, come on, really, look. This is a good job. Well, if I get this job, I can make more donations. And you know, I won't have to work so hard, so I'll have more time to serve you. So it's Krishna conscious, Krishna. So come on, Krishna, be Krishna conscious. And I gotta get this job. Let me find a parking place. But there was no parking place. And he went around the block, and he was praying, Krishna, give me a parking place. I guarantee I'll chant 16 rounds every day. Every day. Give me a parking place. No parking place. So he went around the block again. Krishna, listen. I will observe every Ekadasi, I guarantee. Not just when people are watching. Just give me a parking place. No parking place. Around the block again. Krishna, listen. I will only read Srila Prabhupada's books. No TV. No Bollywood, no newspapers, no nothing, only Prabhupada's books. Just let me find a parking place. It was almost 2 o'clock. No parking place. Around the block again. Oh no, Krishna, this is too much. And just as the clock was about to strike 2, suddenly there was a parking place. And he drove into it and stopped and said, it's okay, Krishna, don't worry, I found it. Yes, right. So we should pray. It is one of the devotional processes, Vandanam. It's very important, actually. We have to learn how to pray. And many times, if we pray nicely, and if we really, you know, try to pray for something Krishna conscious, then we'll see many times Krishna will fulfill the prayer, actually. And sometimes, you know, Krishna will have another idea. So, you know, if he doesn't fulfill that prayer, then we have to also learn to just digest that and not become upset with Krishna, or just not become upset. Accept these things as the mercy of the Lord. But when Shukadev Goswami prays, may that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. So, Lord Ramachandra will give us all protection. He'll definitely do that. Yes, he's very wonderful. I'm going to read a couple more verses from the same chapter. This is 51. Tretiya vartamanayam kalakritasamobhavat rame rajani dharmagye sarvabhuta sukhavahe. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. Nadi Vyadi Jaraglani Dukashoka Bayaklama Mrityus Chani Chatam Nasid Rame Rajan Yadhokshaje. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. It seems just incredible. Too fantastic. But Srila Prabhupada comments here. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale, Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we chant offenselessly, Rama and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Ram was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation. Even in this Kali Yuga. Doesn't it sound amazing? Doesn't it sound unbelievable, literally? We might, you know, not really be able to accept that. That if we chant inoffensively, and if we really chant nicely, and really engage in devotional service nicely, and if we try to spread Krishna consciousness nicely, if we really do these things, but based on, as Prabhupada says here, chanting without offense, which begins with chanting attentively. If you want to chant without offense, but you don't want to chant attentively, then you will not be able to chant without offense. So, yeah, if we do all these things, really try to develop Krishna consciousness, our Krishna consciousness, very nicely, and then try to help spread Krishna consciousness, then actually the world can change. And we might think, wow, really? I mean, could it be? But it could be. It really could. The problem is, well, the only problem really is us. That's the only problem. So Krishna consciousness, or Ram consciousness, is so amazing. If we really become absorbed in Krishna consciousness and we really follow nicely and really try and serve and put Krishna truly in the front of our lives, then first thing that will happen is our lives will transform, means we will transform. That's first thing. And then to whatever degree or as we transform, then the environment around us, people who we have contact with, they'll also transform. And if there's enough of us all around Randburg and Marlborough, right? Marlborough. If there's enough of us and we're really working on things like this, then we will influence, you could say, the ether or just the general, the environment, kind of psychological environment, cultural environment. Yeah, and in this way, the world can be changed. It is not just sort of, you know, some over-enthusiastic words or Srila Prabhupada getting, you know, sort of carried away. It's not like that at all. It's true. It's true. Problem is, we may not accept it, but we should try. Try to accept it at least step by step. And then we'll see. We will transcend the dualities of material existence. This material world is full of dualities. This is a theme I have been talking about a little bit recently. How this world is full of dualities. There's a famous story, you may have read it in Back to Godhead. Dualities. How nothing is good or bad, absolutely. But everything is good and bad. Some more, some less, you know, more good, less good. But basically, there is no absolute good and bad on the material level. So, little story. Some of you would have heard. There was a wise man, and he had a son, a horse, and some foolish friends. One day the horse ran away. The foolish friends came and said, "Oh, that's really bad." And the wise man said, "Well, it may be bad. It may be good." Duality. The next day the horse came back and brought a friend, another horse. And the foolish friends came and said, "Oh, that's very good." And the wise man said, "Well, it may be good, it may be bad." See, if the horse had not run away, he would have not have got the other horse. You see? So yesterday it was bad, today it's good. Same thing. And the next day, the wise man's son tried to tame the horse. It's a wild horse, the new one. He just jumped on the back of it, held on, and that horse went wild. And jumping and running and threw him off, he broke his leg, the son. And the foolish friends came, and what did they say? "Oh, that's very bad." And the wise man said, "Well, it may be bad. It may be good." And the next day, the king declared war on some neighboring state and sent his soldiers out to gather up all the able-bodied young men. They would have been looking for all of you to become official cannon fodder. So they're going door to door trying to find all the sort of teenage, early 20s type young men. And there was the wise man's son. He's got a broken leg, so he's lying down. But they didn't know he's got a broken leg. They just thought, "Oh, look at him. Look at him. He's a lazy boy. Let's just take him, stick him in the army, right in the front line." So they went to grab him. Then they saw, oh, he's got a broken leg. He can't even stand up. He can't do anything. So they left him and went to the next house. And the foolish friends came, and what did they say? They said, "Oh, that's very good. Yesterday it was very bad. And now it's the same thing, but it's very good." So you see, this is the world of duality. And let me tell you another one. This is an interesting one. Listen to this one. There was a man who was a bit of a scientist. He was a scientist. And he was also kind of pious. He wanted people to, you know, not drink and smoke and lead clean lives. So what he did an experiment in public. One bottle, like a sort of a jar, full of some liquor. Another bottle full of cigarette smoke. Another bottle or jar, brace yourselves, some of you, full of liquid chocolate. And another jar with all sorts of nice nutritious things. And he put one worm, one earthworm, in each jar. The worms in the jars with alcohol, cigarette smoke, and would you believe liquid chocolate, they all died. Must have been the caffeine in the chocolate. But the worm in the other jar with the nice nutritious things, he was just doing good. Happy, healthy worm. So this scientist man, he had gathered people. It was a public program. And he told everyone, "Look, see? Look at this. See, you mustn't drink or smoke or eat chocolate. You must just eat nutritious things. See, look at this worm. Look at all these worms." And people were there going, "Yeah, right, okay, good idea." One lady right at the back, stood up and said, "No, I disagree. I disagree completely." She said, "What you must do, you must drink liquor, smoke lots of cigarettes, eat lots of chocolate, and you won't get any worms." This is the world of duality. And you can apply this. You can apply this. You know, in so many ways. So the only thing, actually, which is absolutely good, is only good, and is not good and bad. I mean, some things are very good and just a little bad, and some things are very bad and just a little good. But the only thing which is absolutely good is Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Otherwise, it's all duality. That's the nature of this material world. So we should try to put this into effect. A kali kali ara nahi kona dharma Vaishnava Vaishnava Shastra A kahe marma. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Lord Chaitanya. He says, in Kali Yuga there is no religion. Just when we may have been thinking that, you know, various groups, you know, they're sort of religious or something. But not according to Lord Chaitanya. In Kali Yuga there is no Dharma. There's just the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnav Shastras. And that is the sum and substance of everything. So it's the only real possibility for auspiciousness. Krishna consciousness is auspicious. And we have to invoke auspiciousness first of all in our lives. Means in our persons. things, in our programs, what we do. And then it will sort of radiate out more and more in different ways. It really is a fact. I'll give you an example. You may also have heard this. Indrajumna Maharaj came to a festival of ours in East Siberia. Way out. But there was fog. The plane couldn't land. It had to go to a nearby city and land there. So they were waiting in the airport for the fog to lift. And there's this old Russian man, like from the communist days, and he's sweeping the airport. He's really like, you know, just a sutra person from way out in the middle of nowhere, in this very isolated place. So the man walked up to Maharaj and said, "Who are you? What are you? Are you Buddhist?" And Maharaj said, no, I'm Hare Krishna. The man said, Oh, really? Oh, I see, Hare Krishna. And Maharaj was so surprised. Here's this little old Russian sudra sweeping the airport from the communist days. And you know, has he heard of Hare Krishna? It seems like it. Maharaj said, "Have you heard of Hare Krishna?" And the man became a little indignant. "What do you mean? Have I heard of Hare Krishna? Of course I had. You think I'm stupid?" So you see, the auspiciousness radiates out in many ways, but it has to begin with us. We have to invoke auspiciousness in our lives, first of all through the chanting, as mentioned here, then maintaining the standards, principles, rendering service, associating with devotees, seeing it's Hanuman Jayanti on Monday. You know the story? Hanuman is a very good singer. In fact, he's an amazing singer, actually. Incredible singer. So, Narad Muni one day decided, "I want to go and hear this Hanuman sing. I've heard so much about him." So he went there, found the place where Hanuman was living with his mother. What's his mother's name? Anjaneya. And he's known as Anjaneya. So Narada Muni arrived with his veena, his musical, stringed musical instrument. He arrived there, and there was Hanuman, young Hanuman. He's just young at that stage. And Narada Muni said, "Oh, you know, I've heard so much about your singing. I'm Narada Muni. You may have heard of me." Hanuman said, "Yes, oh, right. Oh, that's very nice." And Narada said, "So, I'd really like to hear you sing. Would you sing for me?" And Hanuman said, "Sure. Just sit down, relax, and I'll sing." So Narada sat down, put his veena on a rock, some sort of boulder rock was there, and sat down, and Hanuman started singing. And Hanuman, when he sings, sometimes rocks melt. Did you ever see rocks melt when anyone of us sang? I don't think any melted when I sang. So, but when he sings, it's just so, so beautiful. It's just so otherworldly in its beauty. Sometimes rocks melt. And that rock, which Narada's veena was on, it started melting. You know, slowly it became a little softer. Then a little sort of mushy. And then it started really, you know, like becoming semi-liquid. And the vena started sinking into it. And Narada, you know, he's listening to this singing. He's in ecstasy. And suddenly he just looked around somehow. And he saw, what? There's my vena sinking into the rock. Because of the sinking. Because of the singing. So he shouted out to Hanuman, stop! Stop singing! Hanuman was shocked. What? Did I do something wrong? Did I offend you? He stopped singing. The rock turned back into rock. And because the vena had been sinking down into the rock sort of set around the vena and was now holding the vena. And Narada tried to get the vena out, he couldn't. He said, Hanuman, could you sing again? Just for a minute. Hanuman said, what? What? What is this? First you want me to sing. Then you shouted me to stop singing. Now you want me to sing again. What's going on? How you don't treat me like this? And he just walked off. With Narada's vena just stuck in the rock. And Narada's following him. Please, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. It was just, I was so surprised. I mean, please, you know, don't mind too much. And Hanuman said, was just saying, no, no, no. Please sing again. No. Just a little no. And they got into the house. It was actually a palace. So, Hanuman walked into the first room with Narada following him. He walked right around that room and then into the next room with Narada following him, begging him, and then the next room, and then the next room till they'd been in all the rooms. Then they went upstairs and into the first room and the next room. And the next room. And all the rooms. They walked through all the rooms. And then Anjani came out and said, Hanuman, what are you doing? Stop this monkey business. This is Narada Muni. He is a great saint. Don't treat him like this. If he wants you to sing, you sing. And Hanuman said, yeah, I know, I know. But the thing is this. I wanted to get the dust of his lotus feet. So I brought him in here, into all the rooms. So the dust of his feet would be all over our house. And now we've been right through the house, now we're finished. I'm going to go out and sing. So Narada got his vena back. Yeah. The association of devotees is so important. What to speak of their association? Just some dust from their feet is so valuable and so powerful. It's amazing. It's really amazing. One time, well, when Lord Ram went, first of all, into exile, as I recall, one of the first people he met was the king of the hunters. Am I right? Am I right? Right. I don't know. Any Ramayana experts here? Anyway, I think so. Nishada Raj, the king of the hunters. Nishada, hunter. So he's a hunter. But somehow the Lord Ram befriended him and they became close, very close, just in a very short, like a day or a couple of days, something like that. And they really, there was a real bond between them. But then Lord Ram went off deeper into the forest. And then later, Lord Ram returned to Ayodhya when Ravana was killed, etc. And the Nishadaraj heard, my friend Ram has returned. Now he's king again. He's going to be enthroned in a few days. Wow, that's wonderful. He jumped on his chariot and he just went flying to Ayodhya. So he arrived in Ayodhya and he just went flying through the streets on his chariot, doing wheel spins and sliding this way and that. People had to jump out of the way. He was so ecstatic. My friend Ram is going to be crowned. How wonderful. How wonderful. Vishwamitra was in the process of setting up the arena for a big yajna, all part of the program for the crowning. So he, and as you may know, Vishwamitra, he is a bit touchy. He's a bit touchy. Not as bad as Devasamuni, but you got to watch yourself. Yeah. So as the Nishadaraj came flying through the streets on his chariot, he came through this like a sort of a square where this big, big yajna was being set up. And one of the wheels of the chariot crossed over the border, the line in one corner of the sacrificial arena. And it was a type of, you could say, ritual contamination. Not that serious, but on a ritualistic level, is a type of contamination. So Vishwamitra, wow, he was upset. We're going to have to redo this. Oh no. So he went to Lord Ram and complained really strongly. Some rascal, negligent, abusive fool came flying through and his chariot wheel contaminated the arena of sacrifice. Big problem. We're going to have to reset the entire thing. He told Ram, you must kill this person. You must kill him. It's such an offense. So Ram, he was so dutiful, he just said, yes, bring me my bow and arrows, and bring my chariot and my armor. You request me to do it, I'm going to do it. So the Nishadaraj heard, this is what has happened. Ram is looking for me. He's going to kill me, my friend Ram. But how could it be? He didn't know what to do. Someone said, go and ask Hanuman. He may have some advice. He's very close to Ram. So he went and asked Hanuman. And Hanuman said, what? I don't think there's anything I can do. I think we just have to chant. So Hanuman started chanting. Not to a musical background. But he started chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. Just at that moment, Lord Ram and Vishwamitra arrived on the scene. Lord Ram on his battle chariot in full armor, ready for war, with his bow and arrow. And Vishwamitra told him it was him. Kill him. And the Nishadaraj just didn't know what to do. He said, Ram, no, Ram, it's me, your friend. Ram said, doesn't matter. This is the order of the guru of Vishvamitra, I'm going to kill you. Took an arrow from his bow and aimed it at the Nishadaraj. And Hanuman is sitting there looking at this scene and just chanting, Ram, 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 Ram. And in his heart he's praying, don't do this, don't do this, there's no need. And Lord Ram released the arrow. Arrow flying. Nishadaraj crying. Hanuman chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. And praying, the arrow disappeared. In midair, it just wasn't there. And everyone's astonished. And Vishvamitra couldn't believe it. But he said, try again. Another arrow. So another arrow. And Hanuman's chanting, Ram, 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 Ram. And the Nishadaraj is just crying and chanting. And the arrow disappeared. Vishvamitra, not being a person who gives up easily, said, take another arrow. Eventually, Ram had finished all his arrows. They all disappeared. All that was left was the Brahmastra. The arrow, it's not just an arrow, it's a weapon. A mystical weapon which killed Ravan. The same weapon that killed Ravan. So, put the Brahmastra on his bow, aimed, released it. And Hanuman's chanting, Ram, 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 Ram. And just praying, don't do it, don't do it. And the Nishadaraj just crying and crying. And the Brahmastra disappeared also. And there was nothing there. So Vishvamitra, he understood there's a higher arrangement here. So he said to Ram, all right, let him live. So, just see. But they say, it was all on the basis of Hanuman's chanting. Ram, 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 from the heart. So yeah, if we want to really chant like Hanuman chants, that's real chanting. But we got to chant attentively. We got to avoid offences. Otherwise, you know, it becomes snick snick ram ram, gay gay gay, some sort of some other thing, or the Hare Krishna mini mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. This is mini mantra, some variation like that. But if we really chant, if we really want to be able to chant with that quality, so our material desires disappear, and the capacity of the material nature to influence us disappears, and Maya Devi comes and offers her obeisances, that I'm no longer going to bother you. Actually, I just want to take shelter of you. And Mukti Devi, the deity of liberation, does the same thing. We want to come to that point? Well, first thing, point number one, chant attentively. Then other things can come. Then other things will come. Yeah. So there you go. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I paid him 10 rands today.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for the amazing pastimes. We're very grateful for having you here, and we hope that you'll